So Hare Krishna, I'm very excited to be amongst you. Still a little bit jet-lagged, but otherwise in an adventurous and this is not the right word in the mood to really share something which I feel is very deep and very valuable for me as a devotee. I'm also very honored to see notable Vaishnavas amongst our group. We even have a Brijbasi amongst us. our Leeladhara Prabhuji. And we'll be spending up till Saturday with the subject matter, the transformation. I personally believe it is a subject matter which has a great scope for preaching. In America, there is a new movement out. I don't mean an organized movement like ours. It's just an intellectual movement where they, the professors and so on, talk about spiritual transformation. They say this is very important for the modern person to be transformed in a spiritual way. And obviously they have a different understanding of spiritual, which will emerge a little bit. They say that in this subject we should approach it very carefully and demand quantifiable results. Like, for instance, a person who becomes transformed should lose addictions. He should lose an obsessive behavior. They say a person who is transformed should even develop belief in non-causality systems. This is religions, in other words. And you should measure. You can measure this. They want to approach this very carefully because they understand there is so much trouble in the modern mind which could be changed if there would just be a transformation of the whole persona, overhauling of the psychology which the modern approaches in psychologies just don't seem to be able to give. They seem to be just superficial and temporary help. Therefore, this new movement postulates, let us probe into spiritual traditions and find out what means of meditation they have to offer to help. One of the findings of these academically sound and proof institutions, we will actually apply a very interesting technique which is based on the yoga philosophy and has Sankhya as its element. You will hear a little later about it and we will actually do it. So this subject matter is of relevance to the secular society, and I think it is of even more relevance to us as devotees of Lord Krishna. Let me give you a reason why. In the past, we have seen a great stress in our theological approach to Krishna conscious philosophy on what we could call the philosophy of transcending. This philosophy is, in my own words, a little bit like this. We just have to change the level of our consciousness. This is actually Prabhupada's words. By engaging in the processes of bhakti yoga. In other words, you take an ordinary man and tell him, chant and you will transcend. You will come on another level and you will the problems from your old level will disappear. This philosophy is very, very valuable. But I really feel that we should look at another part of our philosophy, that is taking our unfinished business, our anattas in other words, and transforming them. Let me explain to you why I think this approach needs to be there with the other approach by telling you a little German joke. In Germany we have this joke of someone who has, the Hosenträger in German. It's suspenders. Thank you. Suspenders. They're made usually of gummy, like this. And a person goes through the door, and one of his suspenders gets caught up in the door, and he continues. After some time, it's a little bit more laborious. He's away from the door, away from his obstacle. But then, all of a sudden, bang! He gets either the end part of the suspender, like a bullet into his back, totally unexpected, or, if the suspenders come from Leipzig, where good suspenders are made, he is pulled back from his progress, and bangs unceremoniously against the door. I think those who like to think know what I want to say. By the philosophy of transcending, removing yourself from the old level, which is an important philosophy and which gets you started in spiritual life, you can definitely make the much needed difference, but if you have not dealt with certain anattas and have not transformed them, they will come back, so that all of a sudden you find yourself as a swami engaged in attractions to the opposite sex in ways which are less than favorable for your spiritual development, to be very polite. Or you find yourself as a high-flying spiritualist who has had many ecstatic experiences, like ecstatic kirtans, wonderful encounters with the deities, encounters which were based on faith and so on, becoming doubtful in the basic tenets of spiritual philosophy, and falling back to starting point. We have seen this many times in our lives, that if the heart is not purified, I will now give another word for transformation, and is not successfully purified, and if your lust is not moved or transformed into love, your attachments are not transformed into attachments to Lord Krishna, then you can work so hard, but your labor will not bring you forward. So I have seen this in my own spiritual life, and after this I have decided to look into it, and found a wonderful verse which kept me thinking. It's quoted for those of you who like to take notes in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 31, text 10. I will recite it in Sanskrit because it forms really a very important basis of our understanding. Yata kanchanatham jati kangsyam rasavidanataha tata diksha vidhanena dvijat vangjayate nrinam. As bell metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. It is a quote from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Here a certain process is described or hinted at, which is able to transform our hearts and make it golden pure. I will nerve a few of you now. Please think carefully. What would be necessary to transform bell metal, which is an alloy of tin and copper, if I remember properly, into gold? Think. You would actually have to enter very deep into the atomic structure, and you would encounter what is known in physics as the strong force, a force which keeps the atom together and also separated from each other, so that our manifest reality, which appears to our sense perception, is the way it is, and the window is a window and not a chair, a curtain is a curtain and not a wallpaper. All of matter is composed of the Anu, the finest part, says the Vedas, and they are kept, they are held by nada, by different vibrations which come from God in their position. This is a position which is very much akin to the findings of modern physics. You have to really enter deep there. It's easy to give the bell metal an appearance of gold. You can just paint it. But only one Radha Desh Winter would be sufficient to strip the illusion naked before your eyes. In other words, the gold would just fall off here. In the same way, you can easily change externally an ordinary person by shaving him up and changing his language. Instead of Haribol, instead of hello, he will say Haribol. and he will know a few Sanskrit shlokas and get up early in the morning. But if he has not gone deeply into the heart and made it golden pure, as Srila Prabhupada translates, if he has, in other words, not made the alchemical transformation, then it will not be very successful, his spiritual life and so on. Now I will talk about these things, but I notice a certain tired energy in the room, something which a lecturer will not overlook. And therefore, I have decided to do what I usually do with non-devotees. It will be very good for you to also do it. I will approach. The small time triathlon. So, Vrijbasi, please bear with me. This is what. Please raise. We all know that a little sport and exercise is good to get the circulation going. And we will have to do this to survive this class with enlightenment. I want you. We will now start our triathlon. Involves three disciplines: running, swimming, and bicycling. when you do these things, it's important that you find your rhythm, and so on. And please don't condemn me. The class will be very serious, but I just cannot. I have to help you to be awake after a long day of seminars. So please start running.
This is one I wrote up in Zurich when I was up traveling.
You have to find your rhythm. And don't stop breathing, breathe.
Well, I went walking down by the lakeside, pretty people all in a row. Some were biking, some were boating. Such a pity they don't know. Summer sunshine is followed by rain.
Find your rhythm.
Soaked off pleasure, it turns into pain. We're not careful, okay. We'll be born again. Why should we choose?
Now we will enter deep water. We will have to swim with good movements. 1 minute.
Try to help them find out the answer to the question, where do we go? Some will believe us, some still doubt it. Such a pity they don't know. Summer sunshine is followed by rain. So-called pleasure, it turns into pain. If we're not careful, we'll be born again.
Your why rhythm, rhythm. Thank you very much. Now comes bicycling. Bicycling. Sit down on your bicycle and start to drive, trembling like anything. And you have to drive also, avoiding obstacles, swinging.
Want to somehow be a devotee.
Don't stop
Hare
to breathe.
Krishna,
deep breathing
Hare
is good.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Don't give up. Hare Krishna. Please forgive me for the unconventional way of keeping you awake. I could also offend you to raise the adrenaline in you. But this is better. Oops. You will, don't worry, you won't be graded by your rhythm in your triathlon. It's just, I hope it helps to keep attentive. So, in my preparations for this book, I met Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who gave me a very nice quote, which I would read to you. It's by one Keshavadas. I do not know his more than he is Keshavadas. He gives a word for the devotees who want to start the serious work of transforming their hearts, who are not satisfied to just only keep old baggage and later become unenthusiastic in their spiritual life because they don't experience something. They don't experience the transformation. He says, go ahead, light your candles and burn your incense and ring your bells and call out to Lord Krishna's names. But watch out, because Krishna will come and he will put you on his anvil and fire up his forge, Blasebalg, and beat you and beat you until he turns brass into pure gold. When you go onto the difficult process of transformation, you call upon the Lord for helping you. We will take one transformational story as the basis of our seminar, a story in which we will discover a certain shamatha which can be seen in all transformation, in many transformational stories, sometimes different, sometimes slightly different, but there are different elements of this. Now, I have written this down, for you. The source is one person, Joseph Campbell, who investigated all the ancient traditions he could get hold of, and who saw that in all the stories, there is always a starting point where a person feels a call. This goes together. Then usually he doesn't immediately respond to the call. I think you can look at your own lives. You received a call, become a devotee. But you said, no, I can't do this. This is really too extreme. Then you meet a mentor. I have kept these words. I could say the spiritual master. And receive from him an instrument of power. Means a certain process, a mantra, an initiation process, and so on. Then you start your spiritual life, cross the first thresholds. Maybe you go out on Sankirtan, something which you never would have done, to mix with unknown people. Then there are tests. You get to know who are your friends during this time, devotees you can rely on, allies, and there are also enemies. Then comes an ordeal, a fire test, where you really have to prove your worth. It's often in our tradition, at the time of death, your bhajan is tested. It's not an easy moment. It's a final examination. And then you go away with a reward, some sweet realization. I mean, this death can also, I'm speaking maybe in a language, it can also be an ego death. You're really crushed. You feel, now I have to start my life again. I did this terrible mistake. It was shown. I understood it. Will I go on now or will I go? No deal, something intense. Can be death or also an ego death on the way. You will get a reward, and then you have to do the road back. You have to come back and live your life. After the ecstasy, you have to wash your laundry and bring your spirituality in your daily life. And this will lead, hopefully, to a resurrection. That means yoga with Lord, with the Lord. This is I have taken this source. It's not my own, and I have not heard this from Srila Prabhupada. It is important, but I to say this for me. But as I try to illustrate to you a little bit, it's not totally unconnected to our subject. It is very much connected, and I hope to show this in a very meaningful way by telling you the Dhruva story. I will only tell each day a certain episode from the Dhruva story, then go into explaining it with exercises and so on and so forth. We will actually take Dhruva Maharaj as our example in our own transformational story, our spiritual transformational story. Dhruva Maharaj is an ideal example because he teaches us he starts his spiritual life with a devotion to Krishna, but mixed, very much mixed, by the elements of personal desire. Later, he blossoms into total purity. It's a wonderful leela, and I heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear it again and again. He heard two leelas again and again from Gadadhar Pandit at the Tota Gopinath temple. It was Dhruva Maharaja's story and Prahlad Maharaja's story. If you are going to Mathura, you find in the sacred forest Madhuvan the Dhruva Tila. Tila means a mountain of Lord of Dhruva, and he is there in a spiritual way, and we can pray to him. Dhruva Maharaj has always been my example, and one day I hope that my very impure personal desires will blossom to complete purity by his mercy and Dhruva and Prabhupada's mercy, and therefore it means a lot to me. I want to just go briefly with you through the first part of the story where Dhruva Maharaj hears a call, an inner calling which he follows. I'm aware that in a Krishna conscious assembly like yours, the story is known, so I will purposefully make it brief to go on to other subjects. Uttanapada, the king, had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Suniti bore him his firstborn son, Dhruva, and Suruchi, the second, Uttama. Suruchi happened to capture the heart of the king more than Suniti. And therefore Uttanapada had to be always careful due to his attachment to Suruchi to give signs of favor to Suruchi and her sibling Uttama. So once Uttama came on the lap of his father and played, and little Dhruva, seeing this, wanted to also climb the lap of Uttanapada. But because Suruchi was near, Uttanapada felt compelled to favor the son of his beloved and favored queen to Dhruva. And he said, no, please, and pushed the little boy away. Suruchi took this opportunity to vent her superiority she said to Dhruva, you have to be firstborn through my womb. Do you understand? Before you can sit on the lap of your father. That means, meant in clear language, Uttama will become the next king and not Dhruva. And she said other things which really hurt the little boy, so that he went in a greatly despondent way to his mother Suniti, who had lotus eyes and who received him with motherly warmth. Suniti heard the whole story and said, what can I do? I'm not the favored wife of your father. No, but know that anyone who inflicts pain upon you suffers himself. Know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can help you in this dilemma. He can save you, not me. Dhruva Maharaj asked, how can I find this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mother? And so Niti continued, it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who gave Brahma the power to create, and Svayambhuva Manu, your forefather, the dominion over the earth. You worship him in the way the sadhus do. And he said to him, he should meditate about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his consciousness and worship him. Purify your heart and consciousness and situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. And Dhruva heard this. He heard a call. I must do this. I must come to Krishna, and became very determined. He left the kingdom, although he was only 5 years old, with the determination, I must find Krishna, and went into the deep jungle, not the cultivated jungle. I hear there are three types of jungles, and I've also experienced in my own wanderings in India. And this heavy jungle is where you have to really work to get through. So he went to this jungle, and he was determined, I will not return before I have reached my goal. We will leave Dhruva here, because after having heard the call, I must go to my Lord. Well, he didn't do the refusal to the call. He immediately went. The next step is, this is one, this is not there, to our knowledge. He met with his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and was initiated in a process, which we will also learn, and tomorrow we will do this process. We will actually meditate following the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. We have worked this a little out, and I will first see if you are more awake than today. Yes. So, yes. Now I will draw the thing to the end. I wanted to make two more points, really. Dhruva went out to look for Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, to look for Krishna is not always easy, because our Lord will act in such a way that he will insist on the transformation of our hearts. Krishna once said to the gopis, my dear friends, you might be aggrieved by my words and acts, but you must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. Krishna does not immediately come when you call for him. Have you made this experience also? My devotees this from Krishna book I'm taking this, are very much attached to me. But sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly. In order to increase their love for me more and more, if I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it. No, we were poor, we had no Krishna, then we had some Krishna, and then maybe sometimes we lose Krishna. He will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them. And instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. Hare Krishna. This is our Lord. He keeps himself at a distance so that you keep on moving. I will now say something ugly, which may hurt some of you, but it is meant to do something nice. See, at that time, when Krishna is away, you can make the mistake of organized religion. I know I'm getting now in troubled water. My critics, please listen carefully what comes now. Organized religion or an institution can sometimes offer an inoculation against the spiritual experience. In other words, empty rituals that substitute spiritual experiences become what you cling to. This is not the transformation of the heart. This is not the road to take. When you feel your life is not with Krishna, where is Krishna in your life? You should not go, well, there are other things for me to do now than to search for Krishna. Let me search for a position, influence. Oh, maybe I should become a little bit more meaningful in the world of men. And you stop your spiritual search. This can sometimes, it happened to Christianity, it can happen also to all well-meaning people. This doesn't mean that they should stop their processes. It means they should bring life to the processes. And they should know, it's time for me to go into my spiritual essence. I will now tell you, because I'm from Sweden, a story from Sweden, which is so true. I just remembered having heard it from one relative, or I forgot really. My stories are living in me and have taken a life on their own, so maybe the Swedish people will not be so... It will be certainly a Satchinandan Swami treated story from Sweden. It's about that constant shedding of designations or upadis, which is necessary to do for a devotee who wants to transform and not take shelter in the superficial covering platform. Once there was a princess called Aris, Swedish name. The king and the queen made a terrible mistake when there was a request by someone to marry Aris. They immediately said yes because the person had supplied references of, I have so much gold, so much countries, and so on. And they said yes. When they found out who was the new suitor or the bridegroom of Aris, they were shocked, and Aris was shocked more. It was a powerful dragon. It's a medieval story. Ares was shocked what to do. If she would not marry this dragon, the dragon would come and force her to marry her. But could she marry a monster? She went to a wise woman and asked her, "What to do, mother?" And the wise woman, who knew the nature of man, she had 5 children herself, said, "Ares, on the day of your marriage, dress not in 1, but in 10 marriage gowns." I have to look to marriage gowns. Is it? Wedding dress. Please don't be shy. This will go for the world, to the world, so they must hear the right word. Wedding gown. 1, 2, 10 layers. There was a celebration. A celebration where many of the people cried a silent tear. Because although the dragon was so nicely dressed and had so much money, he was a characterless monster. What would become of Ares in her wedding night? And Ares went into the wedding room, or night room. She was trembling with fear. She said, "My dear husband," and the husband was approaching her in the way a bridegroom approaches her bride at the wedding night. "My dear husband, I have only one desire of you." "Yes, anything, anything," said the dragon. "Whenever I shed a cover, please, you also shed a cover." "How do you mean?" And as the dragon looked on, Ares put her first wedding groom away. "You please also take your first cover away?" Dragon said, "Okay." And he took his scales, and had another color, a little bit more bright. Ares was becoming a little bit more enthusiastic and less fearful. She took her second thing away, her third thing, fourth, fifth, and with great pain, the dragon went, and took also the responding covers away, until finally he was standing there, but he was no longer a dragon. He was transformed. He was a wonderful, loving prince. This is how the fairy tales end. He was full of good character, love in his heart, and it became a happy connection, as fairy tales end. I'm here having Devamita Maharaj as my in my audience, and we don't believe in these endings in fairy tales so much, but I want to tell the story how it is. I thought this is a very good story. As you are going deeper in your spiritual life, Mr. and Mrs. Dragons, or not golden-hearted, if you prefer a polite word, you will find out that there are desires emerging forward. You have to do something with them to get rid of them. You will find old attachments. At one level, you will find out that your heart is full of judgments of others. Do you know how sometimes you judge others? "Oh, they are so bad. Oh, this devotee hasn't come to Mangal Arati. He is a lazy." Such and such. You judge the whole world at one level. The dirty things are becoming visible. And you get more and more transformed. At one level, you will come to something which is very, very dangerous. You will become so despondent that you develop something like self-hate. I was hearing that the Dalai Lama once had a conference with psychologists in the West and asked them, many of Buddhists have come to your practices. What is the greatest danger which you see in the practicing Buddhists? And then the psychologist told him, self-hate. They don't like, they think I'm so fallen, I'm so downtrodden, I might as well go into material life. It doesn't matter anyways. This can happen on the spiritual path. It has happened, and those who have been in our different seminars have understood that there is a great difference between humility, spiritual humility, and this is my word, it's not scientific, sad self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. When we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur describe, oh, I'm this, I'm an ordinary person with attachments and so on. And Amada Jivan Sada Paparati. The saintly people find no joy in my company and so on. He doesn't, he will in the next song begin to glorify Lord Krishna and say, but you can make everything possible. Please appear in my heart. Huh? So there's a difference between sad self-centeredness, which is without Krishna, and humility, where you approach Krishna in enthusiasm. Yes, many covers will come out in our process of spiritual life, but take courage. Take courage. The process of bhakti yoga can dissolve things, and we will talk tomorrow on this subject. For today, I will just whetten your appetite for tomorrow's presentation. In the Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful explanation about the process of bhakti, which can take care of these layers. Jarayadya shuya kosham. Kosham means the subtle covering. Huh? Remember the dragon. Nirginam analoyata. Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort. This is kosham, these different coverings, are dissolved without separate effort. And an example which is dear to the devotees of prasadam is given, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. There's a beautiful purport to this. Please find this verse in your own reading time. It's in the third canto, chapter 25, text 33. Hare Krishna. So I will now say two things. I notice my time is up, and I want to stay in the time reference. Thank you very much. This was a theoretical understanding. I can't resist. When you have all these quotes, you want to tell them. Here's something. Can you hear something else from Prabhupada? No, we can't hear. So we have to keep ourselves always, says Prabhupada, in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Then everything is all right. And he laughs. go into the fire, and I will add into the fire of transformation. Yes, and this is the process of Bhakti Yoga, which Prabhupada has lovingly revealed to the world, and keep in the fire. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we will talk about meeting the exemplar. It's called in secular language. I would also like to use these words so that you can use them in your preaching. That is the spiritual master and obtaining from him the instruments of power. We will go to some very, very powerful bhakti processes which can dissolve these coverings and transform them and burn them, so to say. The medieval story of the dragon was one of shedding, but we will use the story for transforming the covers by activities, by certain spiritual activities. We will also have in one evening, in one session, we will have the alchemistical process, but in Krishna consciousness, don't worry. We will have from lust to love. We will see how we can take this greatest of our attachments transform it into love. And then we will have a very nice workshop, which I personally think will be the high point, because it's, we do some very powerful exercises, the power of forgiveness is a very important thing which Svayambhuva Manu gives in the end to Dhruva Maharaj. So please come. Please give joy to our hearts by appearing in good numbers. Tell your friends to also come. And please come on time. Today was a little jet-lagged, but I want to really start in the proper time. Today I was 10 minutes late. I wish you a very, very nice seminar experience here in Radhadesh with deep, rewarding Krishna conscious understandings. These conventions are really planned by Shonaka Rishi Prabhu as a way to give spiritual experiences to the devotees. So please take advantage of this facility and meet many interesting devotees to discuss with them your candid questions in spiritual life. Thank you very much, and see you tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I hope you are all alive after a long day of seminars and many informations. Be happy that you don't come from America at the moment and have a jet lag on top of everything. I would like to start my seminar today. The title is of the day is Dhruva's Way. I needed to just make one little summary of what we heard yesterday. You remember yesterday we talked about the idea of transformation as opposed to the idea of what? Transcending or just leaving something behind. I want to say, make a little correction, because it's not actually a correction, an addition. Yesterday there was one sentence where I said, We were all taught up till now the philosophy of transcending, and now I will teach you the philosophy of transforming. That's not right. It did, if it came over like this for some of you, Srila Prabhupada has taught us both changing the level of our consciousness by spiritual activities, but he has very often spoken about the change of heart and what I'm speaking, or transformation, and what we are learning is really all about that aspect of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. It's, in other words, both within our spiritual education. It's not that it is entirely new or so on. Mm-hmm. You remember that one person has said that a typical transformation journey comes when a person experiences a call, something which stirs his soul up, and then when he answers to the call, it means he has to go out of his comfort zone and leave something of his old life behind often. And of course there's some little resistance to this. But if he has made this call, then something very wonderful happens. Especially in a tradition like the Vedic tradition, it is often said that when you sincerely pray to Lord Krishna, "Please, my Lord, I so much wish to come close to you," at that time the spiritual master or the guide appears. The spiritual master will appear when a soul is sincerely ready. Even if you have a spiritual master and have a service relationship to him, you will find out that your relationship to your spiritual master will become rich and enthusing at the moment where you sincerely call out for the Lord. And the way this is arranged is very divine and very hope and inspiring giving. When Krishna hears someone calling sincerely out for him, he hears it as a super soul. And when the urgency of the call is there, then he will send his devotee of him, of his, so that the devotee can take on the guidance and take our case. Now, this happened in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. The spiritual master appeared and gave him an instrument of force, or we can say it in our tradition, a certain method, which we will hear about today, so that he could attain his spiritual goal. But first, let us go to Dhruva Maharaj, that little boy going in the through the forest and calling out, "Where are you? Where are you, my Lord?" Finally, he stopped at a place and did not really know how to start his spiritual search. At that time, Narada Muni appeared, having been sent by the Lord to help Dhruva Maharaj on his way. Narada Muni didn't make it easy, however. He first tested Dhruva Maharaj's determination to see whether Dhruva Maharaj was ready or not. He came and touched Dhruva Maharaj's weary head with his forehead, and he wiped away the sweat and the tiredness of Dhruva and said, "How wonderful! You are very determined." Dhruva Maharaj was very happy to see the saintly person. greeted Narada Muni in the traditional way, and then Narada Muni continued, "But you are here because you felt you had been offended by your stepmother. Don't you know that respect and disrespect are given to us by our karma?" A very important instruction. When we are respected, we get it's the result of our karma. When we are disrespected by someone, it has to come. We had created this karma. So, and the karma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't take it so serious. Don't be so absolutely upset. Be satisfied. And know one thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom you wish to realize, is so very difficult to realize. Great saints, go and don't realize him. Why do you think you will realize him? I give you an instruction for your own good. Listen very carefully. Keep him in the heart, God in the heart. Go home, keep him in the heart. And then act in three ways to people so that you have some social peace. Those who are higher up, you should always respect them. Those who are your equals, you should make friendship with them. And those who are junior to you, or maybe even ignorant, you should mercifully help them. Then there will be peace in your social dealings. A very good instruction. But when Dhruva Maharaj heard this, "Go home and have Krishna in your God in your heart," he became more determined. He said, and this is what a person who wants to go the path of transformation must also go through. He must affirm his stand. He must be sure what he wants. He must have his spiritual goal set clear before his eyes. Dhruva Maharaj said, "I'm a Kshatriya. You should know my heart is pierced. There's a wound, a javelin. My stepmother has hurt me very much. I have only one desire. I wish to ascend to a position which was not attained by any of my forefathers and also not by Lord Brahma. I want to have a kingdom bigger than what Lord Brahma has. Because I was denied my rightful share of the kingdom." Now, when Narada Muni saw this, he was very pleased. Obviously, he could see that there was a material motivation in Dhruva's determination. But there was at least determination. You need to have determination on your spiritual path, especially in Krishna consciousness, which aims so high, you know, at the loving relationship with the Lord. You need to have even an enthusiasm for this. Then Dhruva continued, "If I do not attain the lotus feet of Sri Hari, I will never return home. You, Narada Muni, are like the sun who travels for the benefit of all. Please help me. You also have come here to enlighten me." Narada Muni said, "All right." And then he gave him an instruction, which I would like to repeat with you. And I would like to follow this. I would like you all to follow this instruction also. some parts. I will now say, go to the banks of the Yamuna. I don't mean it like this because I'm so attached to give this seminar for your upliftment. So please don't leave us. but he said to Dhruva, go to a holy place. Go to the banks of the river Yamuna, in the sacred forest of Madhuvan, bathe three times a day to be purified both externally and internally, and then calm your mind down by the pranayama, exercise. So it is exactly here where we will start today's workshop. I would like you to go with me into the into a somewhat simplified form of the processes which are done in yoga. Now, please know that Dhruva Maharaj's path or way is the way of the yogi and the Hatha yogi who is opening his eyes towards bhakti. It's a mixture of bhakti with the practices of Hatha yoga. So I will do something with you now, and I would like, how are you? Ready to start? There's one devotee we have lost already. No, you were already meditating. Good. Thank you very much. I think we can dare it. We just open the windows a little bit so that we have nice fresh air at our disposal. And then we can... are you ready? Would you like to try? Good. Really pray to Krishna because this is now very sacred and holy. Please be so kind to sit erect. If you require the support of the back chair, it is, you can do so. If you feel you don't require it, then this might help you a little bit better to sit in an erect position. Please put your hands on your lap. Please see if you are situated properly. That means if you feel comfortable, fix your attention on the nose and look to the nose. And if you are a little child, you might consider to come back after the meditation, being guided by your parent, because we need some peace for this. Please close your eyes and move your legs a little bit. Build a little tension in the legs. Then place your feet on the ground and relax your legs entirely. Now go to your trunk. Move it a little back and forth. Try to build up a tension by holding a position, a curved position, maybe to the right or left side. And then sit straight and relax it again. Thank you. Now please move your shoulders a little up and down, as if you're shrugging your shoulders, somewhat exaggerated. Pull them high. As high as, and hold this position, build the tension and relax them. Now move your head from the left to the right side. Move it as far as you can comfortably stretch it, and then hold it straight and relax. Please breathe in now through your nose and breathe out through your nose. As you breathe in, you will feel how your chest, the bones of your chest, but move a little upward. And as you breathe out, you will feel how your shoulders come a little bit forward. Please don't only breathe in the area of the chest, but breathe deeply into the stomach. As you breathe in, your stomach should come out. And as you breathe out, you use the muscles of your stomach to gently push the air outside. For a moment, please concentrate on your breathing. This exercise becomes now very simple. You only have to watch your breath. When your attention starts to go to some point you have heard or something which you might still have to do, like writing mail or so, please discontinue the thought for now and bring it back to your breathing. In and out. Lord Krishna says that he is the prana, the in and out going. The prana is with you from the morning to the evening, from the time of your birth to the time of your departure from this body and this earth. Trust your prana, who is one of the many forms of Lord Krishna. And only be with your prana. Do really some work with it. In other words, breathe in deeply, then breathe out deeply. Be alert, but peaceful. As you will hear now, the instructions of Lord Krishna on meditation and also the instructions of Narada Muni, please be alert but very calm. And as you hear the instructions, please follow the flow of these instructions. Use your alertness to direct your mind. Please meditate on the area of your heart. Go inside that area, the seat of your mind and the emotions. Think of someone or something which you like very much. Maybe Srila Prabhupada. Maybe your spiritual master, maybe a good friend, maybe a nice situation. Remain with this feeling of pleasure and appreciation. And now try to see in the area of your heart a lotus flower. A lotus flower like you have seen it on the many different Krishna conscious illustrations. Now turn your mind to the sun. Sun on a summer day. Try to go into the sun or be with the sun. And now meditate on the moon, the full moon.
Maybe you have seen such a full moon in Gopunim in Shidamayapur, or in your own home place. After you have placed the moon in the sun, place fire in the moon. All this on the whirl of the lotus of the in the heart. And now place Krishna's transcendental form within the fire, moon and sun. The form is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. The Lord stands on the whirl, the lotus of your heart. Please direct your attention to the jewel-like nails of his lotus feet, which are always glittering. Please see now his feet, which are decorated with golden ankle bells. Please move upwards and see the lower part of his body dressed in beautiful yellow silk garments. His dhoti goes up to his waist. See in your mind's eye a tiny little chain with tiny little golden bells. Now please move upwards and slowly arrive at his beautiful chest, which emanates a dark, deep, bluish hue or complexion. And there on his chest, see the circular form of the Srivatsa, the sitting place of the goddess of fortune. Next to it, a red, ruby-like jewel, which is carved like a calf, the famous Kostuba jewel. Please now see a beautiful garland woven with flowers from the forests and bunches of tulsi in between. Please see the four arms of the wonderful form of the Lord. In his lower left hand, he has a whitish effulgent conch shell. Above the conch shell, a fire discus. And in the upper right hand, a club. And in the lower right hand, a lotus. And now see the helmet of the Lord, bedecked with glistening jewels. Now you can look into the eyes of the Lord. Eyes which are like oceans of mercy. Now you can look at the lips of the Lord, who are pinkish like the rising sun. Please look again at these beautiful eyes, so full of mercy, and know the Lord is prepared to grant shelter to all the surrendered souls. Krishna's in this form, always calm, so peaceful, quiet and pleasing to our eyes and mind. He's always smiling, and he glances full of mercy. If you concentrate on this form, said Narada Muni, you will never lose the peace of your mind. Slowly we turn our internal eyes towards the sky, the blue sky. We gently fold our hands. We chant one mantra. After this, we can open up. We have our eyes closed at this moment. Please repeat this mantra which Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. When you are ready, please gently open your eyes again. You might like to stretch yourself a little bit to come back into our reality. It was a different chanting of the mantra, isn't it? It was very powerful. It sounded really like... I want to tell you the sources of this little meditation so that you can look it up in your own and read in the Bhagavatam. What I did in the beginning is not really, was not part, this relaxation of the body tension and relaxation. That is one of the systems in the yoga exercises. It's a principle. You stretch your muscles and you then relax them to get whatever is blocked out of your system and let the prana energy flow. I do this because we are usually very tense and it's difficult to come into a meditative mood. So we do this to beginning. The breathing can be done much more complicated, like it speaks of three techniques in the Bhagavatam: Purvaka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka. Purvaka means inhaling. Kumbhaka means stopping the breath at... What was the other? No, I must look in my... Rechaka means breathing out. Or in the other way around. I really must say, I don't know. But it's obvious. You breathe in, hold the breath, and breathe out. I didn't do this because it might be too complicated. And the idea can be done by simple breathing in and out also. So we did this in a simplified way. Dhruva Maharaj did it much more complicated, the pranayama. This element of visualizing a lotus in the heart is from Narada Muni's instructions. And the element of putting sun, moon, and fire
It is coming in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam when Krishna answers Uddhava's question, what is meditation? And he says, do this. First go to the sun, the moon, and the fire. It is, you will internally clarify a lot by bringing this mental light inside. This is the idea. And then, visualize the beautiful form of the Lord. That, again, I have taken this whole section from the Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni instructs Dhruva Maharaj. It's very interesting that all the meditational techniques which you find, either on Vishnu or on Krishna, end always by meditating about the smile of the Lord. I find this very significant. The Lord who smiles, and you should meditate about the smile of the Lord. And fix yourself on nothing else than the smile. There are such instructions. When you meditate about Krishna, you see so many wonderful details in the form, but at the end, you look at the smile of the Lord and his cheeks emanating with light and the dancing earrings, which make a certain light and so on. So, yes, you have done a meditation which was done by Dhruva Maharaj, the essence of meditating on the Lord, and you have gone there by a little bit more simplified form of the Hatha Yoga system. I do hope that this was helpful to give you a little idea. I realize that it's not so easy to just meditate on commando, and therefore I just went quickly through it. Not so quickly, I hope that you were becoming angry with me, that you couldn't stay with something. So if you would like to do this, you can use some of these guides, and you could experience this. But Narada Muni's instructions didn't stop here. He said to Dhruva Maharaj, make a deity of the Lord. He described the different elements which can be used, and said if they are not available, you can just take the soil and water, just the clay deity of the Lord, and do puja to this deity, and offer regularly the forest fruits to the deities. Very nice instructions. I have seen devotees of bhaktas who had gone, for instance, I remember one who had gone on an island to just think where to go from now, after reading the Gita, if he should join Krishna consciousness or maybe go to the university and continue the studies. And this bhakta told me in the time he was on the island, he offered every day fruits from the island to Lord Krishna and found it very, very conducive to his devotion. So this simple offerings are also advised by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. Then Narada Muni left Dhruva to perform this process and went to Uttanapad. Who was Uttanapad? Father, Peterji. Uttanapada was totally disturbed when he heard that Dhruva Maharaj had left the kingdom, gone in an undisclosed part of the wild jungle for austerities and meditation. And from morning till evening, he could only think of one person, Dhruva Maharaj, with a fatherly thinking, and was very disturbed. What have I done to my little boy? And was... will tigers eat him? He thought like this. And by meditating about Dhruva, please listen to this, he somehow shared in the benefits from Dhruva's advancement and became disattached from everything else. Hare Krishna.
This was Dhruva's way for today. We will continue tomorrow, and you will not believe your ears what Dhruva Maharaj did to intensify his practice, and you will say clearly, this will not be my way when you hear it. I will not tell you the coming attractions from the Bhagavatam now, but it is really very nice. Very interesting. Good. Could you follow along? Was it doing something for you? Look, at least peaceful. This is one result. Some feedbacks which we can hear? Eka Chakra? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Eka Chakra says, when we listen to this process here, we become aware that it is a very conscious process, preparing the mind, directing the mind, and so on. He feels that sometimes in the chanting we do not do it so conscious, and it becomes a little automatic. Yes. You will see, when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, ultimately you should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. And we will do this in a moment. So, do some things. Now, thank you very much. A very important principle is visible here. Oh, I forgot my little notebook. And that yesterday I spoke with one very nice devotee, and he said, okay, yesterday you have prepared us a little bit for the transformation work, but you have not really told us how the transformation will work. Here you saw a principle which you see in all other practices of Vaishnava transformation work. You invite, somehow you make contact with the Lord, who is totally of a spiritual dimension, who is in a way like fire, by this contact of the Lord, this deep concentrated contact, as we have heard from Eka Chakra, it must be, you can't be absent-minded in your activity of devotional service, the Lord will purify you, because he's like the sun who purifies everything with his rays. In other words, the idea of Vaishnava transformational work, the main idea, is really to invite the Lord to do the transformation. Srila Prabhupada has often given us a very nice example of iron which is held into the fire. The iron becomes slowly transformed into fire by the contact of the fire. So if you want to study the principles of spiritual transformation work, you must somehow or other, Rupa Goswami says, make a deep felt contact with the Lord and his bhakti shakti, his spiritual energy. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which goes like this: bhakti parishano bhavo viraktiya anyatra chaisha eka, and so on. It says basically that for someone who applies the process of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through bhakti, he will have the following realizations. Love, devotional love, bhakti, will enter his heart. An experience of Krishna will come, and a detachment from matter will be there. And he says, this is bound to happen if you make this contact,
This is one of the yogis, Navayogendras. He says, this is bound to happen just like someone who eats will necessarily, in the beginning, feel some, you know, satiation, some pleasure is there. Ooh, so pleasurable in the stomach. And then he will feel after some time some sense of fulfillment. And he will say, thank you, I'm very satisfied now. No need. However, this example is pointing at another example. You will not never get enough from bhakti when you practice bhakti. This is the blessing of Lord Krishna. Whoever starts bhakti will want more and more and will not get bored. Like, not like a pizza eater who eats pizza and after some time, like yesterday, we feasted pizza down our pipe. And we felt after some time, thank you very much, but it was very good. But now we can distribute it to the other hungry men. Hare Krishna. So it's important to note that the bhakti, the part of transformation comes becomes possible by this principle, contacting the Lord. I will look at Braj Bihari Prabhu. Have you come to relay an information?
Well, just if you could announce that you're giving a slideshow this evening on tracing Vaishnava culture.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe you don't have to announce it.
Well, no. I have a very wonderful slideshow. It is showing. We have gone on an expedition in recent years to many places and wanted to find where we find traces of our Lord in the different cultures. So we have some amazing pictures of South India, and then we go to Cambodia in the jungle. We will be able to see a real jungle, and then we will see the flying people of Manipur. You will see people actually flying. The first documented slides on this phenomena, and you must all come. It is at 7:30 in this room. Hare Krishna. I'm trying to get a good group of devotees together, as you can see. So let me do like this now. I've seen the meditation took much longer than I expected, so that I cannot go through the other processes of transformation, where I have interesting exercises. I hope interesting exercises. I will do this tomorrow because it's very important. Here I would like to just tell you a little bit more on this principle of transformation, so that you can detect this principle of making a solid contact with the Lord and then having Him, like the sun, transform your persona. I would like to tell you a story of Jiva Goswami, and then it will take about 5 minutes, and then I would like to open the forum for possible questions. I do not know if there are questions at that time, and then we will end in proper time at 7 o'clock. I feel this is now very important information for you. It is simple, but if you enter the information, if you think about the information, you will become very enlivened, and I feel in some ways very empowered. It's very important for devotees to understand the principles, because once you know the principles, you have an equipment with you which really equips you for life skills. Principles you can always apply, whereas detailed formulas and detailed rituals, maybe, which are dependent on certain places, environments, and also your tools, physical tools like an aratic paraphernalia or so, they may not be always available. If you want to become a deep devotee who does transformational work, it's highly important that you understand this principle. And if you now will listen to this principle a little bit more in detail, I think you will learn or you will appreciate the contribution of Srila Prabhupada to spiritual theology, I mean to spiritual teachings, because you will see how carefully he drove this principle into his teachings and how he really taught it here and there in lectures and morning walks and room conversations by his personal example. He really wanted to make sure that we understand the principle. And the principle is simply like this. Connect with Krishna in your life. This is yoga, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, the highest form of yoga, because Lord Krishna says in the sixth chapter that no yogi is higher than he who is always connected with him. Something like this. Yoginam api sarvesham mat katena antaratmana, who has made him the goal of his life. Jiva Goswami says, contact with Krishna is so entirely potent that anyone who has it will benefit from it. And the first time I really thought deeply about it was when I was in the Kathmandu airport. I'd just come from Kailash in Tibet, and I had waited for the flight. I thought it would never leave Kathmandu. And there was a Buddhist man. He was a European, and I was very restless, and I thought, let me put my mind into something else and talk with him. And he was actually a very nice man. He built a huge Buddha statue, which was 50 meters high or so in Bihar. He was the director of it, an American Buddhist. And he was very enthusiastically telling me about his project, and he said, you know, there is one statement in the scripture that there was once a Buddha statue, and there was a rat. The Buddha statue where people lived, and there was a type of kennel around it, which was an irrigation, Bewässerungskanal, yes, irrigation. Thank you for your expert word, irrigation. And now in this irrigation, in this canal, there was a poor rat who was on some piece of floating wood and was encircling the Buddha. And after he had done this three times, the rat went into Nirvana, or wherever. So he said, isn't this wonderful? And I said, yes, certainly. And let me now tell you something from Jiva Goswami. Oh, yes, yes, yes.